It's Here and Now. And before we get too far into the 2016 election, we're learning more about 2012. Claire McCaskill won re-election that year in Missouri. She was the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate from that state. And when she was running for re-election in 2012, she defeated Republican Congressman Todd Akin, who made this controversial comment when asked about abortion.
If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be on the rapist and not attacking the child.
Claire McCaskill writes about this and the rest of her political career in Plenty Ladylike, a memoir. She joins us now. And Senator McCaskill, I want to start with what we just heard there. That was just a few years ago. Do you think it's gotten any easier for a woman to run for office since you started your political career in 1982?
I think it's gotten easier. I certainly have not encountered the kind of sexism that I talk about in the book with a great deal of candor. When I first began holding elective office as a single young woman in my 20s, I don't see the kind of sexism in the Senate that I certainly encountered in the Missouri legislature. On the other hand, in some ways it's gotten tougher because I think women are put off by how nasty and how money-driven political campaigns have become. So I'm hoping that young women will look at this book and see a path to public service that embraces strategy, embraces ambition, embraces being aggressive, because we need more women to travel what can sometimes be a difficult path, but a very rewarding path.
You remind me that in this book, you talk about the struggle that you had in deciding to endorse Barack Obama for president in 2008 instead of endorsing Hillary Clinton, who is a fellow female politician.
Yeah, it was hard. I think that most of my women supporters were very involved and supportive of Hillary Clinton. I knew when I endorsed Barack Obama that it would cause a backlash of many of those longtime supporters and wonderful friends. And I was worried about that, frankly. And my daughter, kids have a way of bringing you to ground. As I explained in the book, she got in my face and said, you know, look in the mirror. You've been telling us all our lives that we've made sacrifices so that you could make a difference. And now the only reason you're not endorsing Barack Obama is you're worried about your own political skin. And she was right. So I called the then senator, my friend, the next day and said, I'm all in. I'm for you, and I will do whatever I can do to help you get elected president.
Which means you weren't all in for Hillary Clinton. So what changed? What made you get on board with Hillary Clinton now?
Well, first of all, that was a tough choice. We had two historic candidates, two amazing candidates. Anybody who was paying close attention should have had a hard time between the two of them. Not so hard this time. I think she is head and shoulders above the field. I love Bernie, and I think he's talking about things we need to be talking about. And I think it's good that he is in the race, and therefore Hillary Clinton's going to have to fight for the nomination and earn the nomination. And frankly, I think she'll be a strong and stable president that can appeal to independent voters in a way that perhaps Bernie will not.
You talk in this book about the fact that when you were running for statewide office, one of the things that harmed your campaign was the fact that John Kerry's presidential campaign decided to pull out of Missouri and pull their staff out and were not going to compete there. I have noticed over the last several presidential cycles, Missouri seems to be getting more red, not less red. Why is that happening, despite the fact that some of the other swing states have gotten more blue?
Well, I think it's a little bit of selective looking at races. The majority of the statewide office holders in Missouri are Democrats. Barack Obama's closest election in the country was in Missouri. It was less than 4,000 votes that separated him and John McCain in 2008.
But 2012 wasn't that close.
No, 2012 was not close. On the other hand, a Democratic governor was reelected in 2012. I was reelected in 2012, and so were a number of statewide Democratic office holders. So we have a big bunch of independent voters in Missouri. And while they were not excited about Barack Obama in 2012, I think it will be a different story in 2016.
Another thing that I've noticed about Missouri, and I've got a lot of very good friends in St. Louis. It's one of my favorite cities in the country. But I always get a little bit depressed when I go there to see for example, there, you know, with the loss of TWA, there are hardly any direct flights going into St. Louis Airport anymore. It seems like a city that's not growing as fast as a lot of other cities in the country. Why do you think that is?
Well, the St. Louis region is growing, and St. Louis is holding its own in terms of population. And like many other cities, there is some recreation going on. We have a life science component that is very exciting, the Cortex Corridor. We are attracting young entrepreneurs. We have WashU in St. Louis, where we are really getting some of the best and brightest young people from across the country that are coming to St. Louis for an education. So I'm bullish on Missouri and St. Louis. And by the way, I might add that we've got the two best records in Major League Baseball with small markets and small payrolls. Since you're coming to me from Boston, I can't help but point that out.
Fair enough. Well, but you might lose your football team.
We might. And that's unfortunate. But I think that has to do with an owner that was never really excited about St. Louis. We're fighting to hold on to it. And I think it's a pivotal moment for the NFL and how they're going to handle this, because we have a community that is willing to build a new stadium. We have a community that's been very supportive of a football team. I think the owners are going to have to go do a gut check on this and see if this is really a precedent they want to set.
We're speaking with Senator Claire McCaskill, whose new book is called Plenty Ladylike, A Memoir. And Senator McCaskill, I want to ask you a couple of things about your ex-husband, one of which happened when you were married to him. And he was arrested, and you talk about this in the book, for smoking pot. And you had to go out and talk about that and denounce it. How do you feel now about legalizing marijuana?
Well, I think the jury's out. I'm taking a close look at what's going on in Colorado, the good and the bad. I believe that alcohol causes an awful lot of pain, and I talk about some people I love in the book and their use of alcohol and what that has done in terms of cost to our society, alcohol addiction. I frankly, probably if I could switch out legal alcohol versus legal pot, pot might be better than having alcohol legal in terms of the damage it does. On the other hand, adding another substance, I just want to be careful. I want to make sure that we're thoughtful about this. I think for medical use, I have no problem with the documented evidence that is in existence about how it can be of assistance to people with certain problems, medical problems. But I want to look carefully at it to see if, in fact, legalization is the right way to go. I'm much closer to saying yes today than I was when I left the prosecutor's office a number of years ago.
Yeah, you were pretty angry at your husband.
I was very angry. It was and frankly, as I explained in the book, I think one of the things that I learned in that incident is I just said what I was feeling, that I was he'd done something terribly stupid and hurtful, and it was going to take me about 6 months to get over the urge to kill him. And I think because I was so honest about how I really felt, the people of Kansas City were pretty forgiving of the fact that my husband had done something dumb while I was the chief law enforcement officer of the county.
And many years later, after you had divorced, he was robbed and shot and killed in Kansas City, a horrible event. How did that change the way that you, if it did, change the way that you think about crime when you have such a deeply personal event like that?
It changed a lot of things. I was fairly steeped in the incredible pain of crime because I had spent so much time in the courtroom as a prosecutor and crying with victims, parents of murdered children. You know, I've seen up close in the ugliest way imaginable in ways that I can never forget. How crime is very harmful to people. When it happened in our family, though, it was hard because I now had to try to soothe the path for my three children whose father had been murdered. And it was tough. I was just beginning the Senate campaign. It was a complicated time because I'd remarried. And so that added another layer of complication. And I tried to be really honest about all of this in the book because I think everyone needs to realize that everybody has moments in their personal life that are really difficult to navigate. And I hope that the way I've treated these subjects give people permission to realize that even us politicians are normal human beings that have lots of bumps that we have to endure.
Well, we just marked the one-year anniversary of the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, outside St. Louis. When you first heard of that event, when you first found out about it, what was your initial reaction of what the situation was? Did you think this is the police going overboard, or did you think, oh, there must have been something that happened with Michael Brown in order for the cop to shoot him like that?
Well, I thought like a prosecutor. I wanted to know what the physical evidence was. And while I am quick to talk about the physical evidence that indicated that the police officer was justified when he shot at Michael Brown, I am also quick to point out that it unleashed emotion in this country that we need to recognize as real about institutional biases. Criminal justice reform, I am excited that we seem to have some bipartisan support right now to move forward with some significant reform in the criminal justice system. There is a better way. There is a way that will protect public safety, that will hold perpetrators accountable. So I think we've got a real chance to do something. And a lot of what happened in Ferguson and other communities has given pressure to this movement, which I think is pressure that is needed.
Claire McCaskill, a Democratic senator from Missouri. Her book is called Plenty Ladylike, a Memoir. Senator McCaskill, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you, Jeremy.